Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this webcast of Norske Skog's fourth quarter 2014 financial results. As we have already published the trading update for the fourth quarter, this result is partly known by the market already due to the refinancing activities which we closed successfully this week. I'll come back a little bit to that later on. Before I go into the results, I will just, as usual, share with you a few thoughts on our marketplace. And to start off with, the most important comment is that print was never dead. Print, as some commentators have observed, have a severe challenge from new media. That challenge is obviously still real, but at the same time, we see that a lot of publishers, our customers, are coming back to basics. More than 90% of all newspaper publisher revenue still comes from the print edition, and it seems difficult to replicate the present models into the digital world. Also, the ad retention is significantly higher on paper than any other media, comparing that to television, comparing that to online advertising. And it seems to us, and generally more and more to the marketplace, that particularly for higher added value goods, like cars, like domestic appliances that you have in your houses, that in order to actually have a sale of these products, people need a paper-based reference. On this page, you see a Norwegian campaign, which Norwegian Press have jointly done, which basically says, "How strange that you're looking at this advertising since no one is reading paper anymore." Obviously, that is not the case, and paper is still very strong in the core European and global markets. Also, in North America, where a lot of people for the last few years have talked about the fact that printing is under severe pressure and is virtually disappearing, we see now big catalogs are coming back. Retailers like JCPenney is bringing back their catalog after five-year absence. Also, Newsweek has relaunched its print edition in 2014 after announcing in 2012 that it was going online only. Clearly, two very important signals that print is vibrant and an efficient media still. Also, another interesting fact is that the mail order catalogs, which are very popular in large parts of the American market and certainly also in the European and Australian market, while the peak was back in 2007 in terms of catalog mailings, it seems now that the market has flattened out, and 2013 actually showed the growth over 2012. Back to the efficiency of advertising, it seems to us and to the market at large that catalogs and direct mailing is very, very efficient. This you can see in Australia, where we obviously have a large presence and a big interest in this market, but also in Europe and now even in the United States. So all in all, I think our base premise is that print is still a vibrant and an efficient advertising carrier, which has an important future in the media mix. Then going more into the 2014's fourth quarter, what happened with Norske Skog and what were the main elements of the quarter? We finally managed to ramp up the Boyer converted magazine machine. This has been operational with a new product since the second quarter, but only since November of last year were we able to produce paper of the right quality, at the right cost, delivering it to customers. The product has been very well received in the marketplace, but we have struggled through 2014 to actually make a cost-competitive product. We have spent too much input factors to make the right grammage and the right quality. Boyer is now performing as it should, according to the business plan, and also going into 2015, this is still the case. Most of you have probably by now seen that we have launched a new bond. We launched a $250 million bond. This was at the end closed and oversubscribed at $290 million. This happened early February. And given that we also offered an exchange to the existing note holders who could exchange into a new bond, this total transaction closed early this week. The proceeds have been used partly to refinance and partly as cash on Norske Skog's balance sheet. I will show you the figures a little bit later on. This means that we now have basically extended our runway in terms of debt to 2019, end of 2019. Basically, the company has gotten a five-year runway with these transactions. In addition, an immediate deleveraging effect and a positive P&L effect of 400 million was realized in this exercise. Importantly, a long runway has been achieved and immediate deleveraging at the same time. If we go into the market, we see that there is still a structural decline in the newsprint and the magazine markets in the world, where newsprint was down 7% and magazine 3%. In Europe, the newsprint markets held up a little bit better, and still the global figure is influenced somewhat by China. Chinese figures are notoriously unpredictable and probably not completely true. So I think it's fair to say that the global market is probably down more 5% than 7%, but still a structural decline. On the price side, publication paper prices have been relatively stable into 2015 from 2014. This is a global phenomenon and also a European phenomenon. The exception is Asia, where pricing is still under pressure into  2015. Looking at our gross operating earnings, you can see that 2014 basically had a run rate of some 200 million per quarter. This is also the effect in the fourth quarter with 190 million. Still a weak magazine market in Europe, where no one really has any cash margin, and we were still affected by the fact that Boyer was still trying to get to terms with the cost effects I mentioned earlier on. A somewhat negative one-off in the other activities. Corporate and other activities reported a slightly higher negative figure than what a normal quarter would be. So the underlying operations were slightly better in the fourth quarter than an average quarter of 2014 should indicate. If we look into the details of the variance from the third quarter, 208 million, 290 million, you can see that there was some negative volume effect as we took downtime around Christmas, and there was also a negative effect of the sales mix. This is, to a large extent, exports into Asia, which were weak in the fourth quarter and still remains at a very, very depressed level. Foreign exchange is positive, mainly with the Norwegian crown getting weaker, and this is offsetting whatever pricing pressure we have seen. On the cost side, most of the costs are flat. And given the large sensitivities to energy and foreign exchange in the fourth quarter, we also saw a rapid decrease in the oil price coming from levels of around $100 down to levels of $50. So it's important to note we, as a big energy buyer, big energy consumer, we have obviously a longer-term effect of this. We think that the lag effect is somewhere between 3 to 6 months. And with our cost structure, you can see that energy is a little bit more than a fifth of the total cost, including chemicals and others, which are basically oil derivatives. Almost a quarter of our cost is related to the oil price one way or another. However, we have long-term contracts for energy both in Norway and in Australia, which means that about a third of the oil is directly exposed. So about a third of a quarter of the cost is directly exposed to the oil price. On the currency side, our present guiding is that 1% depreciation or appreciation of the Norwegian crown against relevant currencies, basically euro, US dollar, and British pounds, means a 30 million gross operating earnings effects on an annual basis. Obviously, the Norwegian crown has decreased more than that through the fourth quarter, and this is an effect which we will gradually see into 2015, given a still weak Norwegian crown. Obviously, this can change on a very short notice, but the sensitivity remains quite high and at this point is a benefit for the group. Briefly, talking about our two segments, Publication Paper Europe and Publication Paper Australasia, we can see that the European markets were a little bit weaker in the fourth quarter in terms of earnings, and this is mainly related to the magazine segment. So newsprint remained relatively healthy with high operating rates across the industry. Magazine less so, with operating rates in the mid-80s. However, the earnings level is more or less on par with the other quarters in the fourth quarter, and the deliveries also at satisfactory levels, with some stock build down towards the end of the year. In Australia, with the Boyer ramp-up, we have seen an improvement in the fourth quarter compared to the other quarters of 2014. And while we're still not at a satisfactory level, the fourth quarter saw more of what we could expect now the Boyer machine has been ramped up. We're still struggling with low US dollar prices in Asia. However, some of that was mitigated by the fact that the US dollar increased towards the Australian dollar. Also pleasing to see is that the newsprint demand development in Australia now looks more than Europe after a couple of years with significant downward pressures, as our two main customers and the two main Australian publishers have taken steps to strategically shift their printing pattern. So now we see decline rates of 6%, as we have seen double-digit numbers both in 2012 and 2013. So we now see that Australia has a per capita consumption of newsprint which looks more like Europe and North America for that matter, and we see that in the demand declines are leveling out. Globally, we see that quite some capacity has been taken out to support the market. North America have seen 9% of total installed capacity been taken out in 2014. Most of this, if not all, closures have now been effectuated. In Europe, there is still capacity coming out physically in the first quarter of this year, mainly the UPM machines. Most of them are now stopped, but there is still some product to be taken out, and most of this will work its way out of the market through the second quarter. Important, 5.2% have been taken out, and we still would not be surprised if there are more capacities coming out, as the margins are still below a satisfactory level. Pricing remains relatively flat from 2014 into 2015, with one notable exception as mentioned, which is the Indian reference price, which we have seen levels of 640, 650 throughout 2014, where we ended the year just above 500, and prices have been under pressure also into the first quarter of 2015. So we're seeing rock bottom pricing in Asia, which is scraping the floor at these levels. The closures, as I mentioned, will support prices, and we see that particularly into the second half, there should be room for price improvements also in Europe. A few words about the cash flow in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter is traditionally our highest cash flow quarter, where we release working capital, also so this year. So in addition to about 200 million of gross operating earnings, we have also released about 500 million. This figure is a little bit artificial, as the new accounts receivable facility in Austria have now a different accounting treatments and have been moved off the balance sheet. So you have to look to take this figure a little bit in conjunction with other figures, but still it's a satisfactory and somewhat above our previous guiding in terms of the working capital release in the quarter. Very little restructuring, and the financial items of about 200 million, including a large interest payment in the fourth quarter. So as you know, our interest falls due mainly in June and in the fourth quarter in December. Taxes and other, minus 63. However, the cash taxes were about 17 million in the quarter, so there are some other effects as well in the fourth quarter. Total cash taxes paid in 2014 amounts to 42 million. Putting this all together, the cash flow from operations a positive 425 million in the quarter. Now, given the refinancing activities which now have been successfully closed, you see that there is some legacy notes remaining in 2016 and 2017, which is roughly half of what it was before this exercise. The new senior secured note of €290 million matures in December 2019 at year-end 2019. And then the new exchange notes, which people exchanged the 2015, 16, 17, and 33 notes into, are now in 2021 and 2023, respectively. So all in all, this gives us a maturity profile in total of more than 5 years and a good runway for the company to grow its EBITDA and cash flow into the capital structure. Some deleveraging, but the most important factor for the company at this stage was to generate a runway to maturity, which we have successfully done. Now, looking forward into the first half and into 2015, pricing in Europe, a key point for us obviously, are relatively stable. We see that currency effects are happening, and particularly with a strong pound to euro, pound prices has come down somewhat. But all in all, we could say that publication paper prices in Europe are relatively stable into 2015. The market is expected to improve with the announced capacity takeouts, and we see that as inventory works its way out of the market, there is room for price improvements into the second half of the year. In Australia, the long-term contracts provide stability for our newsprint market. And also on the magazine side, we see a small improvement in prices, but all by and large, relatively stable prices in Australia. The new magazine machine at Boyer, which I have talked about previously, was a significant negative contributor in 2014. This ramp-up costs were over the operations about 120 million, so it impacted GOE negatively 120 million, which was effects related to the ramp-up. This obviously should have been a positive figure in more or less the same magnitude according to the business case. So now this is contributing fully. We expect a significantly better contribution from Boyer in 2015. Given the sensitivities to foreign exchange and to the oil price, this would be at present level supportive to the margins. There is some time lag for these effects to come in, and obviously oil prices go down and they go up, currencies go up and down. However, at this level, it is a meaningful support to our margins. Variable costs, we still expect flat level of the pricing of our input factors, and the fixed costs, as we have mentioned many times before, are coming down over time, and we still believe that we should be able to take out about 200 million or about 6-7% of our fixed costs when we compare 2015's run rate at year end to 2014 end, despite the fact that the currency is on this metric specifically working against us. So all in all, looking into 2015, there is room for a slight optimism in our financial figures. And also importantly, of course, with the refinancing of the group, the runway to achieve this has indeed been established. On that note, I would like to thank you all for your attention. Thank you.